On this episode, the Argos clinch a playoff spot and look to lock up first place with a win in Montreal on Friday. Plus, the Peterbilt and Swagger locked up for the near future. Crack those cold ones, it's the Argos Fancast. Joining us as always, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com. He is our VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hi, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.ArgoFans.com.
And from the double blue border, Sir Douglas of House Ballinger, second of his name, Lord of Section 116, Warden of the South Side, and Protector of the Realm.
Hey, everyone. Sorry we haven't been around. A lot of technical issues, apparently. Hamsters have been dying at an alarming rate. We've had to replace them just as quick. You can find me on Twitter, X, whatever the frig it's called, and on Threads at DougB519. You can find the Double Blue Order on Facebook. Not only on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, X, whatever the hell it's called. You can also find us, as always, in Section 116. Also have a merchandise store out, including our iconic Double Blue Order t-shirt, which I'll get into a little bit. There's a little bit of news regarding that. I'll get into that in the three-minute warning. But you can find that and a couple of other designs as well at doubleblueorder.ca.
And I'm Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay. You can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast, or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast. Specifically, Spotify, search up Argos Fancast. We'll be there. Subscribe, like, do whatever. Every week. Well, hopefully every week when we fix, hopefully we fix the problems. I really hope.
When we have to replace the hamster.
Yeah. Goddamn hamsters. Maybe it's the wheel. I don't know.
I don't think it's the hamster. I think it's the wheel.
Yeah, that, or maybe we should start feeding them.
Yeah, well, maybe that
might be, might hamsters, be a problem.
Hamsters need food.
Oh. Yeah, usually. So we had another win. I guess it's just what we do now. We haven't had a start like this since 1996.
That was a good year.
That was a very good year.
Don't mention it in front of Turf District.
Sean Fleming missed 3 field goals.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but they don't concentrate on that, do they? They never concentrate on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got Saturday afternoon. We had an afternoon game. Mm-hmm. Holy cow. Yeah. Saturday afternoon, we won. And it wasn't close.
Breakfast tailgating. It wasn't close from the opening whistle.
No.
The Argos came out and just toyed with their food.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 20 points in the first quarter. Scored off of the third play from scrimmage.
They didn't lose a single quarter in this game. Even the typically slow second quarter that we've been having. We didn't even lose that quarter. We won every single one.
Defense made a statement this week.
Yep.
Argos won 39-10. Let's see. Player stats. Pull them up. Chad Kelly, 21 of 28 for 278 yards. Ran a touchdown in himself. AJ Ouellette, 19 carries. Yards, 2 touchdowns. Andrew Harris, 6 carries, 21 yards. Chad Kelly, 2 carries, 6 yards, and had that touchdown. Cameron Dukes also snuck in for one. Receiving, Tommy Neal was the man. 6 catches, 84 yards. Curley Gittens Jr., 4 catches, 63 yards. Coxey, 3 catches, 41. DeVaris Daniels, 39 yards. Ungerer, 3 for 28. And Cam Phillips had 1 catch for 23 yards before he had to come out of the game. On defense, Adarius Pickett, 9 tackles and 2 forced fumbles. Chris Metchie, 5 tackles and 1 forced and 1 fumble recovery. Brandon Barlow, 4 tackles and a sack.
2 of those tackles were for loss.
2 tackles for loss, yep. Yep. Winton McManus, Quintus Diggers both had 3 tackles. Robbie Smith had 2 and a sack. Tavarius McFadden had 2 and a special teams tackle there. They did a lot of stuff. Boris Beattie went 4 for 5.
Including a 51-yarder.
Yep.
And punted. And, well, we'll get to Boris Beattie later with his...
Yeah, he punted decently.
And we'll get to his other...
Yeah. Yep. Who knew Boris Beattie had wheels? We'll talk about that in a minute. This was one of those games where, like, you at not one point did I ever feel like that Montreal posed any kind of threat.
No, kind of like, what was it, the second? I mean, the Argos scored on their second drive, and then Montreal subsequently fumbles the ball on the kick return.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of all she wrote.
Yeah. They had 5 turnovers Montreal commit.
Yes, there was
one on downs and 4 fumbles, I believe.
Well, no, there was the
The one interception in the end zone. Yes.
Were these fumble on kickoff return? Standback's fumble when he got rocked by Jamal Peters. I think Cole Speaker fumbled towards the end of the first half. Evans got stopped on a sneak, which I don't know why they even measured because it was clearly stopped, and Jamal Peters' interception.
Yep. All right, guys. Good, the bad, and the ugly. Doug, you've been off for 2 weeks, so you're in the hot seat. Where do you want to start?
Let's see. There's an awful lot of good, not a lot of bad, and not really much ugly, but...
Any ugly? No, well, okay. I'm gonna jump on you, Doug. There was a little bit ugly. We lost another halfback.
Yeah.
Robertson Daniel goes down, and we had Mason Pierce from the Colorado School of Mines, the Ore Diggers, come in. Didn't play great. Better than he did the previous. But yeah, that would have been, yeah. Another big injury in the second. And Robertson Daniel dude was having an all-star caliber season too.
Yeah. And now 2 weeks, 2 halfbacks down.
Yep.
Need Priester and Carnell back fast.
Yeah, the only that side is Edward wasn't seriously hurt, even though it looked pretty bad when he went down a couple games ago, but he's been back in a backup role and he can fill in where needed as well.
Well, Daniel's on crutches.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, they haven't said anything yet, but from Ben's calm, they anticipate it to be a serious injury. So, heal quickly, Mr. Daniels. Mr. Daniels, sorry. Daniel. Yep. He's a singular Daniel, as opposed to the plural Daniels, who catches balls on the other side. They both catch balls. Okay, Doug, now I'll let you have the floor.
Well, okay. Like I said, I don't exactly know. I think you can have an ugly and a good on the same play. Can you not?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Well, yeah, so half of it is ugly, and half of it's also very, very good. So I'm going to take the half that's ugly, because I think you guys all know what the good half is going to be. But it was...
Yeah, we know where you're going, Doug.
Yeah, you know where I'm going now? Yeah, yeah. It was.
Oh, we know where you're going. Yeah.
It was the coverage. It was coverage. It was special teams coverage. On, well, like, I'm sorry, but that was bull and shoe ugly. But there was, like I said, there was also a good in with that as well. So.
Go for it.
It was Boris making a shoestring tackle. Dude, and I was watching, and I'm like, oh no, he's gonna run it all the way back. And sure enough, here comes Boris out of the clouds to do a shoestring tackle and to prevent a touchdown.
I had no clue he was that fast. I don't think Boris Beattie knew that he was that fast, because Chandler Worthy is one of the fastest humans in the CFL.
Mm-hmm. Boris
Beattie caught him.
Yeah. And he needed all 6'3", 6'4" of himself to do it.
Yep, the wingspan to get him by the shoelace.
Literally. I've watched that clip back a couple times, and he just clipped his shoelace.
Yeah. But Doug's point is well taken. That return did lead to Montreal's only touchdown of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Argos also allowed another kick return that was pretty long, so that's kind of 2 weeks in a row, both Labor Day and the last game, where they've allowed some kick returns of significance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not something we want to keep doing. And we're playing them again next week, so Mickey Donovan, fix it.
Yeah, it's like he's doing a great job with the punt returns, but on coverage, got a little bit of work. Just a tiny bit of work to do.
Yep. Well, okay. Will, where are we going next?
I'll just say the ugly was the general chippiness of this game. I mean, Austin Mack got thrown out, Montreal receiver.
Yeah.
I'm still wondering, how did he get thrown out? I'm guessing he must have thrown a punch or something.
I think, yeah, he did, I think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know if it was Toronto or Montreal starting in it, but Come on, people.
Let's face it. Like, Toronto and Montreal, it's a rivalry as old as, spans centuries. You know, the bad stuff's going to come out in one form or another on a sporting surface. Whether it's ice, whether it's a gridiron, whether it's a pitch. It comes out.
Yeah. Used to be the diamond, too.
Yeah. I hope they come back soon.
The refereeing was pretty decent on Saturday. Hope it doesn't become, discipline issues or anything like that.
No, since recording on Monday, we normally see the fines come out on Tuesday. So we'll see what comes out of that. Yeah, because it was chippy. There were quite a a lot of things that have to be broken up, but kind of settled down once we got to the second half a little bit, or later in the second half, so when the game seemed a little bit out of reach. And we get to do it all again on Friday in Montreal.
Yep.
A lot on the line in Montreal coming up on Friday.
I was trying to remember, when was the last time I think Winnipeg did it a couple of years ago, but they weren't even that, where you were able to clinch first place in the division after only playing 12 games, 12 out of 18 games.
Yeah, I don't know when that would have happened last, if ever.
Like, that's insane. They're literally that much better. And they just keep finding a way. Like that, yeah. That's okay. Like we kind of jumped right into the next game, but that's my good for this week, that they've put themselves in a position to clinch first place in the East next week.
On September the 15th.
Yeah. And this puts them in a very good situation, knowing that the league forced them to exhaust all their bye weeks in the first 8 games. You know, they're going to be able to rest some guys who were a little bit banged up, here or there. So, for this week is the fact that they've positioned themselves in such a way that they can be in to steal somebody else's, they can create their own bye weeks essentially for, some of the team.
Yeah, they can if they win on Friday.
Yep. Will, what was your good?
Well, the more praise for the offensive line. I mean, I guess the stat is that Chad Kelly hasn't been sacked since the game in Halifax.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, that's unbelievable.
Yep, and they're allowing the team to routinely rush for 100 yards. AJ Ouellette got over 100, 19 carries, 105 yards this week. So Isaiah Cage, Ryan Hunter, Darius Sirocco, Peter Nicastro, Dejon Allen, you have my praise.
Take it. He doesn't give it very often.
Yeah. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. You get a vote of confidence from Will, you are doing everything right.
Especially with the amount of criticism we've given these, given this unit over the last, couple seasons?
Oh, hell, it's been the entire length of our podcast.
Pretty much.
Like, honestly, the way this line is playing, they're right up there with some of the best O-lines that have ever been trotted out in the CFL.
Mm.
Like, I mean, look at the, I would put them up against the, the Winnipeg offensive line of a couple years ago. You know, when Andrew Harris was running all over everybody,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you didn't touch the quarterback because they just didn't allow it.
The time the Scum only allowed 6 sacks in the season. It happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, once again, they came out with a clean sheet. It's insane. That's a few games in a row that they have not allowed a sack. It doesn't sound right talking about the Toronto Argonauts and having the best line, offensive line in football. It's been a long time since you could even make that argument. Doug, did you have anything else for good?
I do have one other thing for good, and that is the fact that we haven't really keyed on a single receiver. Or you know how a quarterback tends to end up getting a favorite target.
Yep.
We haven't really seen that out of Chad yet. Because everybody's getting 50 plus yards a game.
Yeah.
50 plus yards and in usually an equal amount of targets.
Yeah. I mean, he's targeted. I believe when you look at the targets, I think Cam Phillips leads them, but not by a whole lot. But Cam Phillips is usually kind of, he tends to run a lot of the underneath routes that are going to be able to get him more yak yards. So those are usually open pretty easily. And the one thing that I heard DeVaris Daniel say in an interview recently, that him and Chad are almost kind of, they're on the same wavelength. So he's got the freedom, if he sees something open in the middle, to break off his route, whatever it is, and go up that middle. And he said every single time, Chad knows I'm there and he finds me. Like, you know, targets wise, you're probably looking at Cam Phillips as the favorite, but, you know, wavelength, but he's still, it doesn't matter. Whoever is open, Chad's getting them the ball.
And this week it was Tommy Neal stepping up.
Yeah.
And I think that was his
first action of the season.
Yeah.
I think it might be one of the first games he's dressed this season, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we're first in the power rankings again.
Take that, Doug Brown. though I think he was more reacting to Rod Peterson.
Yeah. Oh, well, some other happy news coming out of Argo's camp this the last 2 weeks is they've locked up two of the key pieces for the next 3 years, which in the CFL is technically long term. Peter Nicastro inks a new 3-year extension, and Chad Kelly signs a 3-year extension, making him the highest paid quarterback, highest paid player in the league.
Rightfully so.
He's earned it.
Yep.
He's earned it.
Despite what other people may say, he has earned it.
Yeah, he's here. Trying to find the I think 11-2 in his career with Toronto. Or sorry, he's 10-2.
Yeah.
And he's on pace with Flutie for the best opening run as an Argonaut quarterback. Yeah.
Imagine that. You're getting essentially paired with one of the greatest to ever throw the ball in any league.
Yeah. I believe that deserves a go Argos.
Go Argos.
Go Argos.
And the Peterbilt, one of the key pieces in that offensive line, is back for another 3 seasons. I mean, when was the last time you saw these kind of contracts come out of Argo, like
out of the CFL in general?
Yeah,
it normally doesn't happen.
No.
Which I think is actually fantastic, because now people will realize, hey, he's sticking around for a while. Maybe I can get a jersey.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Peter in a Castro jersey would look pretty good.
And I mean, well, we see Chad Kelly jerseys friggin' everywhere. at BMO right now. Everywhere.
You know what, that's one of the things too that has blown my mind, is the fact that you're like, when we went walking around the CNE, I know there was, you know, a lot of fans there. Going to the game, but the amount of brand new Argos jerseys that you see floating around out there now, it's insane. I don't think you know, not since the 80s and 90s, early 90s that you saw stuff like that in this market.
People like the new jerseys.
Hell, I bought one.
Yeah.
Who did you?
I got myself a man who made a very big impression on me. Man who is pretty close to my height, but he put someone through a table.
Ah. I got his jersey too.
The man mounting a. The man mountain himself, AJ Olette.
You know, I was watching AJ Olette the other day, and I was trying to figure out, like, what he reminded me of, you know, as far as a running style. because you got people like you got some of these scat backs, you kind of know, okay, they're like a race car, right? Well, Ouellette has those moves in tight that you could compare him to a race car. He's got the speed for it, definitely. But then he runs through people.
And then he starts carrying people.
Yeah.
Which means he's got a lot of, which means if we're talking car terms, he's got a lot of torque.
Yeah. Holy crap, does he, like.
Got an awful lot of foot pounds of torque coming through.
Like, he's a Frankenmobile. Like, he's got like a Ferrari motor, but it's really reliable. And it's like he's got a goddamn freight train cow catcher on the front of him. And then he can, he's like a semi truck who can, haul three trailers.
He's like something out of, like, if we're going to compare him to a vehicle, he's going to be something out of Mad Max, that's for sure.
Oh, that would be a great t-shirt. Mad Max vehicle with AJ Ouellette standing on top holding the hammer.
Ooh. Now, if only I had any modicum of artistic ability. Which, unfortunately, I don't. I can sew. I can paint. But I can't draw.
No.
I can't draw worth a damn.
I feel like that's homework for me.
Yep, that
see
it is.
See what I can do on that.
Hmm.
Because I can do some of the graphic design. I may not be able to. I'd have to steal the picture of the car. That's, that would be it. He's the Mad Max vehicle holding a goddamn hammer. All right, guys.
He's got to be whole. Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, now we just got to lock up AJ Ouellette for another couple years.
Yeah.
And a few more of the offensive linemen and a couple of our guys in defense. Yeah, we got a few.
Just bring another ring. just let's get me another replica ring. One in particular that would fit my middle finger.
Yeah,
because the one that the replicas they gave us this year barely fits my pinky, and the one they gave us back in 2018 that actually fits my ring finger.
Yeah, no, same thing.
Yeah.
So please, Argos, I know some of you are listening. I will actually give you my middle finger ring size if you can make the replica 2023 ring fit that. I'll actually DM it to you. I'll slide in your DMs and do it.
sounds like a plan. A few other things came out. The CFL teams released 10 names off their neg list.
I ain't heard of none of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I haven't read this yet, so you're going to have to.
Well,
I didn't even notice that they did it.
I just noticed it today. But yeah, like, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, guys off of Alabama's roster, or, you know, we're talking about, you know, Middle Tennessee State, Southeastern Oklahoma State, Colorado School of Mines.
Another one.
Yeah. So this is the Argos 10 players that they've released off their NAG list, I think. And honestly, like, these look like more guys that they're going to be able to acquire at some point if they do definitely go after them. But you've got Jordan Ferguson, a defensive lineman from Middle Tennessee State. Justin Ford, defensive back, Montana. Eric Gehrer, DB, Louisiana. Malik Hall, defensive lineman, Southeastern Oklahoma State. Nolan Henderson, QB, Delaware. Rocky Lombardi, QB, Northern Illinois.
Well, that's a name for a quarterback right there.
Oh, God damn it, it's, yeah. John Matocha, QB, Colorado School of Mines.
I like this mining place.
Yeah, well, Isaac Harker, who's played for the Riders, came out of there too. Then we've got Anthony Motalvo, defensive lineman, Central Florida. John Reese Plumley, quarterback, Central Florida. And Matt Sluka, quarterback, Holy Cross. None of those guys ring a bell, because we probably never heard of them. But that's kind of what this is, you know, gotten down to, is they're not releasing any of the names that anybody would know.
Exactly.
On these lists, yeah. Anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they're releasing players that that have a shot, if they want to sign a contract with the team. And we don't get any of the super duper fun names. I mean, Rocky Lombardi is pretty goddamn good. But you don't have, you know, like a DeColdest Crawford or a General Booty.
General Booty.
He's a quarterback.
Is he in for some major pain?
I think there is a player named Major Pain.
Is Colonel Sanders going to come out there and go get him?
Yeah, that I'm not sure about.
Maybe Colonel Abrams will sing a song about him. I don't know.
But yeah, that gets released every year around this time.
Lack of nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, teams can have up to 45 players on their NAG list. Be added, removed, or traded at any time. Some players that have come off this NAG list, though, that we've seen. Non-Argos, we've got Dustin Crum, Jake Mayer, Jamal Morrow, Tim White, Lucky Whitehead. Argos and Tevin Jones in Saskatchewan there. And then some even better names that have come off this list recently. Javon Leak. And none other than Chad Kelly. So while these names that we're reading here may not be household names yet, there's a chance that
it doesn't exactly mean that they're all people that we don't know.
No.
So there are probably some good names in and amongst all that, but we'll never hear about them until they come across the border.
No, and a lot of time, because a lot of times these guys play at, you know, universities that we're not going to see very often.
Like the Colorado School of Mines?
Yeah. Saskatchewan's got a guy from Minot State.
I've never heard of that. That's like in North Dakota or something.
Yes, it is. There's a Calgary's got a wide receiver, Jerome Kapp, from Kutztown. I've Andre never Reed. Heard of
him. I have Andre Reed play to Kutztown.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, here's a name we might have heard of on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Ian Book from Notre Dame.
I'm pretty sure one person will have heard of that.
Yep, I've heard of him.
Oh, okay.
And there's the odd one here or there that's from a big name university, but you know a lot of them are from smaller ones. You know, Fordham, Elon University,
Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah, but it is. I think.
Yeah, I just wanted to say Bethune-Cookman. Darius Bladick played at Bethune-Cookman.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Montreal has a quarterback named Lindsay Scott Jr. who plays at Incarnate Word. The University of the Incarnate Word.
Didn't Byron Scott, Brian Scott play?
I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
Brian Scott played at OSA Dental. Same thing.
OSA Dental aren't those like resorts in the Caribbean?
Maybe. I mean, it sounds like something that would come out of Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, we play Montreal this week again, and I think they're going to probably try and come up with a slightly different game plan. But I think whatever the Argos game plan was this week, they need to do the exact same thing on Friday to clinch first place in a bye straight to the East final.
Yeah, it's kind of like coming to the point where like whatever, not whatever, but like just
keep doing what you do.
Yes.
Fix the issue on the special teams. You know, if we're going to nitpick, Chad Kelly needs to throw a touchdown pass because he didn't do that last week for the first time since game one.
We need to put Cody on his ass more than we did.
Yeah. Yep. But I mean, the game plan was originally to sell out against the run, which they did. I think they had 45 yards rushing.
I don't think it was even that.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't even that. It was much, much less. It was 24. Like, yeah.
Well, let's see here.
Team
stats rushing.
But to
yeah, you're, yeah, yeah. 24 yards on 11 carries.
But to be fair, they did get positive gains when they ran the screen against us.
Yep.
There was some positivity out of that, so they might try that again. But then again, I have a feeling that they'll like. I know. Well, here comes me overthinking shit again. I have a feeling that the Argos have got like every contingency covered. They're gonna go in there. They're gonna do what they do. They're gonna bully. They are gonna bully Montreal again. They're gonna bully them. We're gonna clinch the East final, and then we'll probably send the scout team against Hamilton on the 23rd and still kick their ass.
Yep. Yeah, why not? kicking Hamilton's ass is fun. Yeah, and then the week after that, we head out to Winnipeg, where it might be scout team versus scout team.
Yeah, well, no, that's going to be like heavy. That's like heavyweight tilt right there.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, Winnipeg may be in that same boat where they're looking, oh, maybe let's rest some guys here at that point, because they're in...
Possibly, but I can also see them actually going in there saying, let's see if we can get some tape of what they got in the playbook, so we're going to send the best that we got.
Yeah.
I could see them more doing that than sending the B team. Like, that, I would figure they would send the B team, like... against BC, or in this point they could probably send it against Saskatchewan again. I hate to say it.
Well, that's a tighter race right now in the West.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they've only clinched the spot, and Winnipeg's only got 5 games left.
Yeah.
BC and Saskatchewan have a game in hand.
Yeah, BC. Saskatchewan ain't catching them.
No.
Well, not anymore. Good God, they got their shit pushed in.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Sorry, Clay.
51-6. God damn.
I knew that was going to happen, though.
Yeah, and the majority of that came in the first half, too.
Yeah, it all came in the first half. Winnipeg let off the gas in the second, and they still friggin' were getting into the Saskatchewan red zone at will.
Yeah. I honestly, after I saw that score, I decided not to watch the game.
It was probably best that you didn't.
Yeah.
Because I think it would just have led to tears, I think, at that point.
Yep.
I know, Will, you and I, we were at a post-game party over at the local, and they had it on the television. We're just like going, oh my God, this is getting ugly in a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
Winnipeg came out there angry.
Yep. Ha! And Edmonton won again this week.
Yeah, and they beat Calgary doing it. So let's see. They've beaten.
God save the Dean.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, they're gonna get carried away with that. No, they're already getting carried away with that. Who am I talking about? No. So let's see. Who have they beaten?
Hamilton,
Ottawa and Calgary. So yeah, because Hamilton was the first one to get the L, living to the emphasis of the L going forward. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make, because I mean. They're on the cusp of going on a run.
Yeah.
That's what it seems to me. Like, if they're just on the cusp of going on a run.
I believe they won 3 out of the last 4.
Yeah.
So
but they kind of beat up on bottom feeders.
Yeah. But they do look like a little bit of a different team since they conceded and allowed Trey Ford to start. Although he couldn't pass worth shit.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, he's going to have to learn that part of the game eventually.
Yep. Yeah, he has to. Yeah. Like, that's one thing. They're ultimately going to get tape on him, and they're ultimately going to shut him down, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. But it's still nice to see a Canadian quarterback having success in the league.
Especially when I went to school in my backyard.
Yeah.
Went to the wrong school, mind you, but he at least played in my backyard.
Yeah. Well, let's get into our picks here. Fantasy. And
I haven't checked my fantasy score, actually. Come to think about
it. Well, we didn't win. We scored 100 points, but we didn't win.
Seems like it's the story of our life.
And somehow, Ben and JB picked everything right. And I think ended up with like 174 points this week.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, I ended up with a buck 10.
Well, I got Austin Mack running out.
I got 110, and that's basically because I avoided friggin' Ottawa and Hamilton like the plague.
Yeah,
so did I. My receivers did absolutely nothing of consequence.
I had Begelton and Lawler. I got them for dirt cheap. Actually, I got a pretty good lineup this week. I'm not gonna lie. I think I picked the wrong captain though.
Yeah. The X's and Argos 171.4 last week. That's insane.
How the hell do you beat that? You can't.
And you want to know something? That they had 1 point out of Ottawa for their defense. Everybody else is double digits.
Wow.
Yeah. Zach Collaros was their quarterback, 66.2. So that's with the captain. They had Ottawa's running back Williams at 25.5. Kadeem Carey at 11.9. Dalton Schoen, 34.
Yeah, Dalton Schoen freaking balled out. Holy cow. Crazy.
And Kenny Lawler at 20.4.
I had Kenny Lawler, so yeah. I'm happy.
And then they had Mitchell out of Edmonton with 12.4. Like, this is a damn good week for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, here we go with our standard: Chad Kelly, AJ Ouellette.
Mm-hmm.
Are we putting an Argos receiver in there here? Because apart from the touchdowns that seem to come in bunches for the receivers, they're not getting massively, massively big games, right?
No.
Especially with Chad Kelly literally finding everybody.
Mm. Exactly. So, I mean, as a fantasy pick, I don't know. I don't think. I mean, as much as we want to go Argos heavy, I don't think that's a wise idea.
Throw it away. Sorry.
I mean, you would probably end up getting. Let's see. You might get more mileage out of Edmonton's receivers.
Yeah, I'm thinking there.
Or even Winnipeg's receivers, for that matter.
Yeah, they're playing Hamilton.
Yeah. Exactly. So.
Yeah. I think maybe Keon Hatcher out of BC might be, if he's not top of the food chain for price wise, might be worthwhile.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the picks here. Start off the week, Toronto and Montreal.
Friday night football tonight.
Doubleheader on Friday night too. We run by 29 last week.
Well, I think we can easily, I'm going to easily say Toronto 2 scores.
Yeah, I was thinking 17 and 20 points we're going to win by. Will?
Yeah, I think it'll be tighter. It always is at Molson Stadium.
All right, then we got the second game of Friday night, Edmonton at Saskatchewan.
Edmonton flying high or an angry Saskatchewan?
This is a tough one because we're not, that Saskatchewan hasn't been getting much in the way of decent play out of their quarterbacks since Trevor Harris went down. But I'm going to go Saskatchewan by 1 point. Doug?
Normally I wouldn't ask for this, but give me the coin of destiny.
All right. Yeah. Oh, man, it's still here. Yeah, we lost the first nickel of destiny.
Did you spend it?
No, it fell behind a cabinet.
We'll move the cabinet.
Yeah, that requires effort. So, heads, you're taking Edmonton. No, sorry, that's tails.
Yeah,
that's a beaver. Yeah, you're taking Saskatchewan.
Okay.
Wait a minute. How did you know? Because you agreed with me when I said no. That's tails. How the hell did you know?
I have no idea.
I mean, you're in Kitchener-Waterloo. I'm in Georgetown. How?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, yeah, you're taking Saskatchewan. And Will is taking Edmonton.
Yeah,
I'm assuming. Winnipeg in Hamilton.
Winnipeg by a 100.
I hope Winnipeg's still not angry.
I fear
for the safety of Hamilton if they get an angry Winnipeg.
Yeah, Duke Williams will pull an Antonio Brown and just say, like, halfway through the second quarter, just strip off in the north end zone and say, fuck it, I'm out.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I don't know. We said Winnipeg by 100 last year when they went into Hamilton. They got the shit kicked out of them, so.
I don't think they're going to get the shit kicked out of them this time.
All right, let's see.
I mean, they're just coming off a 50 burger in the Banjo Bowl. They're gonna be like flying really high, and Hamilton is just garbage.
Well, Duke Williams will not be playing, so he cannot do that. He's on the sixth game. So yeah, I have to pick somebody else to do that. But he seems like the one guy that would do that too.
Well, considering the tweet that he deleted, yeah, I would say he would be the guy to do it.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm gonna say Edmonton I'd be picking Edmonton against Hamilton anyway. I'm gonna say Winnipeg by we'll say I like the number 17. We'll go with 17. Okay, the other half of the Saturday doubleheader, Ottawa at BC. I'm sorry, Ottawa, you're not winning.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Sorry, Pop Dice.
The Lions are going to maul them.
Yeah, I'm the Lions by 2 scores.
Lions by 48.
Oh, God damn, they're gonna U sports them.
They're gonna York them.
Ottawa's gonna pull a York. Can we change them back to the Yeoman?
You think they
wouldn't help?
Improve?
No.
The football wouldn't improve.
No. It just did. It was a better. It was a more fun name to say. Lions. There's lots of lions out there. Ottawa is going to be the York Yeoman. The ones that had 49 consecutive losses.
Oi.
Ooh.
Yep.
The ones who are getting pantsed, I think, on average this year by, let's see, on average by like what? 72 points?
I think it was 73-0 and then 71-0. So.
Jeez Louise. No, wait,
have they played 3 games? Did they get slaughtered by?
They did score points against Waterloo.
Yeah, I forgot about that game. Waterloo only scored 53. So
the nerds can't be trusted.
No, well the Waterloo went up and got shut out by Windsor this week. Windsor.
Hmm.
Windsor's ranked in the top 10 for the first time as in I can't even remember when.
Yeah.
Well, 3-0.
Yeah, it helps that they're 3-0.
Yeah. And they've got about 16 running backs that can run over everybody. I mean, they're not Western level running backs, but.
Oh, no. No one's going to be a Western level running back.
Now, speaking of Western. They looked ordinary against Carleton.
I know. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, not me.
I sure didn't.
No, 31-21 against Carleton. So either Carleton's a lot better than everybody expects them to be, or. Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. Because Western still, they look. No, yeah, whatever. All right. That does it for that. Doug, it's time for the 3-minute warning.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
Okay, well, first thing I have to mention is the tailgate that we have in Toronto. It is absolutely amazing to see people coming out to the tailgate. Because we all went out for a walk during it. We saw the areas of the parking lot that could be habitable. Everybody was out there like doing proper tailgating, and it was fantastic to see. The only thing that I didn't like about it was the amount of wasps in the area. And in particular, one cheeky little bastard who decided to take a dive into my pint.
Hey, and, he wanted to tailgate too.
And he did, until the poor bastard couldn't fly out and he drowned in my beer. I'm like, now I know our friend Anton from out in Kazakhstan said that's protein, drink it anyway, but, I mean, no offense, but I was expecting to drink Harp, not mead-flavored Harp.
Yeah, I missed the last tailgate, but there was like saying that it was like a good solid 4 rows of tailgating now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, of course you still, of course, the primo spots are still along the tree line, but the fact is people don't care if they get a tree line spot now, which is amazing. Because they'll just set up wherever and break out the barbecues and start going to town.
And then there was that one end right by the by the footbridge over to Ontario Place. We're coming out there. There was, I think that was the, I'm not sure if it was the Attaboyes were set up over there, but they had, there was two busloads of people set up out that way. Literally, there were two school buses picking people up after the game.
I think I saw the Attaboyes kind of close to our.
Okay, well then it was somebody else who brought literally two busloads of people that they did have tailgate stuff set up.
Yeah, that could have been somebody on. It could have been somebody on Reddit I was talking to asking about the tailgate.
Yeah.
So I know they were asking, "Hey, I'm bringing a lot of people. Well, like, how does it work?" And I kind of just explained it on there. And next thing I know, holy crap, you know.
Well, and before we jump to the next thing, I got to give we still have a discount code that you can use for the next game to join us on the 23rd against Hamilton. It is Argo's podcast or Argo Podcast 23, I believe. God damn it. Now I can't even remember. What the hell?
I'm pretty sure I thought it was Argo podcast or something, or
yeah, it's something to do with that.
Here we go. It's loading up here.
Oh, he found
Argo podcast 23.
That's it.
Good job, Doug.
Yep. Argo podcast 23. Good for the game against the Hamilton Ticats. Get 25% off Argo's tickets. The link is in at our Instagram. We'll put it up on one of our pinned tweet as well, and yeah, that gets you into the game against the Ticats for a little bit cheaper.
Okay, so the next thing is the last game that we had was the Tackle Hunger game. We all love Chris Schultz. We all miss Chris Schultz. And much to my surprise, normally when we do the Tackle Hunter game, it's usually like 5,000-6,000 pounds of food. We doubled that. Over 10,000 pounds of food for the first time in like forever.
Yeah.
For Tackle Hunger.
Off of 14,000 people. That's damn good.
I know I contributed to about 20 pounds to that, personally myself. So, but still, that floored me. I'm like, when I saw them, like 10,000, whatever it was, I'm like, oh my God, we broke 10K!
Yeah, it's been a while since we did that.
I wonder if there I'm pretty sure somebody has it somewhere where they have like how much each team did every season of Tackle Hunger for the last 20. I'm pretty sure someone's got that bookmarked somewhere.
Yep.
Oh, and one last thing. After the game, we've been in contact with a couple of players ever since, well, for a while now. And after the last game, we were able to bring up a new player member of the Double Blue Order. A man who I have a lot of respect for. A man who is, quite frankly, the best kicker in the league. Bar none, don't care. Don't care about anybody else. He is, to me, he's the best kicker in the league. And the fact, his name is Boris Beattie. We gave him a shirt at the end of the game, at the end of the last game. He was super, and he was chuffed to bits to get one. I know he thanked myself. I know myself and Nick, we went down to field level after the game to give him the shirt, and he was chuffed to bits. He was tickled pink to get one. Another member that we couldn't get a picture of because he was still in the locker room at the time, but Boris said he would give it to him, is also Dan Adebaboye. That one, like I said, Boris gave him the shirt. He put it in his locker, so at least that's what he told us. So yeah, two new player members of the DBO.
Jeez, you guys have been busy. You've inducted three players so far this year.
Yeah, I know. DBO. I know, crazy, isn't it? And then of course, there's everybody in the section, everybody else in the section, and they're just absolutely going. They're super. Y'all are super crazy, and we all love you. The only thing I'm gonna request is do us a favor for the next game. Considering that the DBO blew the streamer budget in the first half of the season, please bring streamers.
Okay. I think we can make that happen.
Yeah. Like I said, we blew our streamer budget in the first. That's why we haven't had streamers the last couple games, because we're like, oh shit, we blew the budget.
I saw one.
That wasn't us who brought it, though.
Oh.
That was the guy next door, the dude with the drum. So, yeah, that's all I've got this week.
All right. Well, I guess that does it for the Argos Fancast this week. We're back. That's great. I think we've got all the bugs worked out so far.
Hamster's still – I just had a look. The hamster's still alive and still running.
Yep.
He's got water. He's happy now.
He's got water. He's got food. He's got his wheel. He's got his wood chips. Oh, Doug, where can they find you?
You can find me on whatever the hell it's called now, Twitter, X, don't really care. You can find me there and on Threads at DougB519. You can find also the Double Blue Order on Facebook, on Twitter, X, whatever the hell it's called, on Instagram. And you can also find our merchandise store. We have a bunch of designs, including the OLED 3416 t-shirt and, of course, the classic DBO shirt. And a couple of more designs. You can find all that on doublebluorder.ca.
Will, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And you can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. You can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. Or specifically, go to Spotify, like, subscribe, share. We're right there. Search Argos Fancast. That does it this week for the Argos Fancast. We'll talk to you next week. And we're celebrating clinching first place in the East. Cheers, everyone.